Welcome to Activate Yourself with Gita Sidhu Rob, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Gita Sidhu Rob.
Hi, my name is Gita Sidhu Rob, and this is Activate Yourself. And we have a slight departure from the norm today, only in one bit. The rest of the bit is still real. The guest is inspiring, interesting, someone I find fascinating, and somebody I literally dragged onto the show because I didn't think I could live without having them on my show. That bit's still the same. The bit that's different is that actually today's guest is a client of mine, and we were having a conversation in a coaching session last week, and she said, but I won't sign a contract between the 22nd of August and the 15th of September. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? And I had no idea why she would even say that. And so I said, please come on and explain this to everybody so that we all have an idea of how you make these decisions. So Jessica, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to help people help themselves, basically.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, you're such a well-known astrologer, and you have this immense, like, your podcasts have like 12 million hits a week. Is that right?
No, we have 12.2 million all-time plays. So all-time Got downloads. It. Yeah, not that's, weekly. That would be wonderful.
That would be nice. That's still a lot. Yes, so, you do so much stuff around astrology, but what I find the most interesting about working with you is how astrology is literally a part of your day. You know, it's pretty much the way supplements are a part of my day. Astrology is like a part of your day. And I love that it's a tool. And you said to me, I'm not signing this contract between the 22nd of August and the 15th of September. Can you tell me why you wouldn't sign a contract?
Absolutely. And why, if everyone can avoid it, we should all avoid signing contracts during this time. So there's in astrology, so people think of astrology. Let me just start with this. People think of astrology as horoscopes and like, I'm a Virgo, I'm a Libra, whatever. Yeah. That's pop astrology. That's what, you know, the internet wants us to know about, or women's magazines wants us to know about. Astrology is actually a really complex system for charting the weather of what we are going through as a collective. And then when we look at our birth charts, what we're going through individually. And so when we look at collective astrology, it's called mundane astrology. We know that Mercury, the planet of communication, which is a huge part of our modern lives, it is the internet. It is what we read. It is what we say. It's what we type. It's all of those things, all the videos we consume, right? When Mercury goes retrograde, like 2-3 times a year, and when it goes retrograde, it appears to be moving backwards through the zodiacal degrees. And what this means in practical terms is the planet of communication and agreements, right? So contracts are a big part of that, doesn't function the way it's supposed to. And this happens on a high level, like on a high level. The reason why this happens is because this is the time of the year when we're meant to be following what I call the rule of Rees. It's reflecting, reassessing, recalibrating. And when we make plans, so buying airline tickets, major purchases in general, contract negotiations, or especially signing contracts, what tends to happen is things get messy. You misunderstood something, something was misrepresented. Things don't go according to plan. And so you have to go back and fix it later. And so whenever possible, I avoid making major decisions, signing contracts, like launching new projects during Mercury retrograde.
Because, and how long does Mercury retrograde last?
It's like, you know, as you named, you know, this particular Mercury retrograde is August 22nd through September 15th. Sometimes they're a little longer, but this is generally, you know, month-ish.
So, but that's, yeah, I was going to say that's 4 weeks. But didn't you say that there was, I mean, with utmost respect for astrology, which I have, and absolute ignorance of everything, which I also have, just put that out there. But didn't you say something about Venus in there?
Yes. I sure did. So Venus, so while Mercury goes retrograde like 2-3 times a year, sometimes 4 times a year, Venus goes retrograde, I believe it's once every 19 months. And Venus happens to be retrograde now. It is the planet that goes retrograde the least of all the planets. And so Venus is the planet that governs partnerships, collaborations. And so there's a lot of very personal, it's also like romance and all that. But on topic of work and kind of collaborative stuff, Venus governs our collaborations, our personal finances, what we own, the stuff we have. It's cash in pocket. It's not what you have in your savings account. It's your liquid resources. Okay. And it's also a planet that is related to our values. And so when Venus goes retrograde, we are meant to make sure we are spending our money and managing our resources in a way that reflects our values. And when I say managing our resources, it's also about building and kind of firming up partnerships that reflect our values. And so
is this when Venus is retrograde or when it's now?
Well, that is what Venus is about. So when Venus is retrograde, we are meant to be doing that thing I mentioned, the rule of reason, where we're really reflecting on, is this partnership something that reflects my values? Is this partnership something that will, take my precious resources that are liquid, or is it a good investment of my liquid resources, you know? And so having both Venus and Mercury retrograde at the same time is what I believe you would call bollocks. It is not what you want for any kind of partnership or any kind of partnership or contractual agreement. So I am doing my utmost this retrograde season. And I should say Venus will end its retrograde on September 3rd. So it's not a full overlap, but I'm doing my utmost to be really mindful about whatever partnerships that I am creating and, you know, trying to be really gentle with the kind of confusion that I'm feeling around these things because everyone's feeling them.
So in terms of Venus, you would still enter into the collaborations, but you would be very stringent about checking that they fit within your value system.
Correct.
And that you care about them and you're interested in that you're emotionally connected to them, as opposed to, great, here's another partnership, tick, and go that way. And then the confusion would then come overlaid from Mercury.
Correct. And Mercury, and you want to keep in mind that this isn't like it's just happening to you. It's happening to everyone you're negotiating with and everyone you're partnering with. And so this is where Mercury retrogrades are especially stressful, because I don't know if you've noticed, Mercury goes retrograde. We're recording this before Mercury goes retrograde, but technology is already getting annoying. We're like a week out.
Oh my God, that's so true. Correct. I spoke to my social media guy yesterday and he said the whole day software has just not worked.
Yeah, correct. Everybody, I started noticing it on Monday and I noticed everyone's brain was exploding on Monday. And I was like, I looked at the chart. We're going to have a terrible Mercury retrograde. It's going to be really messy. And so technology goes wonky. Apple tries to do a fucking update to your phone and that's annoying. Every time there's a retrograde, it happens. Plants get wonky. So, you know, because I work with clients, when I set an appointment, I know during a Mercury retrograde, at least one person is going to show up on the wrong day or show up at the wrong time or just misunderstood. Like, you know, we're in a different time zone and all of a sudden it's a problem. It was never a problem before. Yeah. This is classic Mercury retrograde stuff. And so knowing that Mercury is retrograde doesn't mean you bite your nails and worry. It means that when things go sideways, and they will go sideways, you are adaptable. You are flexible. You reflect on your own reactions.
You're pre-warned, basically.
Correct. Yeah, it's like a weather report. You know what I mean? It's like if you step outside and you're ready for, you know, fun in the sun and it starts raining, well, that's a bummer. But if you step outside and you're ready for fun in the sun, but you brought an umbrella and it starts raining, all right, you're prepared. It's still annoying, but you're prepared. And so astrology empowers us to be prepared for what's coming, which can make us a lot more effective in our lives and waste a lot less energy fighting the currents of our lives.
So when we say that astrology, because that was actually going to be my next question, when we say astrology makes us more prepared, are we saying that as a collective, you know, we can understand that this is what's affecting us? I'm really sorry if I ask a stupid question. We're just going to have to live. I know so little that it's potentially available for me to be stupid entirely. but are we saying that collective experience is something that we should factor into our everyday stuff so that we have an understanding of what's happening around
yes.
us.
Yes.
Okay. So what happens if you don't believe in astrology? Is this still happening to you?
Well, there's a couple things I'll say. The first is I don't believe in astrology. I have been a professional astrologer since 1994, 95. I don't believe in astrology because it's not a belief system.
A minute or two.
Yeah, a couple years. It's not a belief system. Some people will tell you it is. I don't agree with that. I don't believe in ibuprofen. And you know what? I use ibuprofen. You have ibuprofen there too, right? You know what I'm talking
100%,
100%.
About.
100%. Yeah. I use it because it works. And you know what? It doesn't work all the time. Sometimes I take it and my cramps are still there. Sometimes I take it and my headache is still there. I still continue to use it because it works. Same thing with astrology. And you know what? That said, because there's like some people are just really not into astrology. That's fine. There's a lot of things that I don't like sports. I don't want to talk about football. Guess what? People like football. They really like soccer. People like all kinds of things that I think are boring. Yeah. Great. Good.
But to be fair, I would say all that. And I still believe in astrology. I just don't know enough about it to have intelligent mm-hmm. conversations, which is why you're here. I don't have to be intelligent about it.
You don't need to be smart about it at all. And I think, you know, I would say for me, astrology is a tool and a system. And it's really effective when it's used by people who understand how to use the tool and understand the system. And I think people will think of it as a belief system because it is spiritual. It does, you know, require some measure of faith. But for me, because I understand that it's just a lot of math and it's a system, I don't believe in it because, again, it works, you know, it works. And this is one of those things where, so on my podcast every week, so two episodes a week, but one of them is a horoscope. And it's not Sagittarius, you're going to do this, Scorpio, you're going to do that. I don't talk about that. I talk about what's happening in the world, like Mercury retrograde, you know, like there's a Mars opposition to Neptune. You know, I explain what's happening in the world and we can, from this, do a number of things. One is we can gain a sense of collective events. So we're talking about global political and social movements. Another thing that we can do is, if one was interested, and this is not my expertise or my interest, but there is a huge branch of astrology called financial astrology, and it's all about mm-hmm. investing. Yeah, so you'd be right up your alley. I believe it was JP.
You used the phrase medical astrology.
I am a medical astrologer, yes. JP Morgan has a famous quote saying, millionaires don't use astrology, billionaires do. And the reason why is because you can literally forecast trends. It is not
no.
That's literally what it is. Yeah, you literally forecast trends.
Okay, so hang on. We need to go for a break.
Yes.
But when we come back, I want you to explain to me how you use it.
Sure, sure. Okay,
in
I will.
Everyday life, please.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. How do you use it in everyday life then, astrology?
So for me personally, I am using it in like kind of like on multiple levels at once, right? The first way is that before I make an appointment, I glance at the app that I built actually that tells me exactly what transits are occurring on a day.
What's the app called?
It's called Astrology for Days, and it's a pro tool. So if you don't know how to read the glyphs or an ephemeris, you're not going to get any value out of it.
I'm not downloading that.
Mm-mm-mm. It's not for you. So sorry. But so what it does is it tells you exactly, okay, so this, that, and the other is happening on a day. And so I can gauge what the energy will be. I am not going to schedule, let's say, a podcast interview during a sun opposition to Saturn because our energy is going to be low. It's going to lay flat. I'm going to wait for there to be kind of supportive transits. And when that's not possible, I will prepare extra. I'll prepare extra by having more coffee. I'll prepare extra by, you know, giving myself more time to do the things that I would typically do, whatever it is that matches the moment. Now,
So you're saying it's almost like when you're having periods. You know that the week before your period, you're going to feel like this. You know
sure.
that the week after your period, you'll feel like that. And so you adjust accordingly.
Yep.
Because you know when your energy is going to be up and down, and you do that.
Yes, but let me add something to that, which is it's not just me. So if I scheduled a podcast interview with you on a day with Bad Astrology, we would both be going through that transit. So I might be not especially affected by that energy. That happens sometimes, but you would be, or that would be the risk. And so then that might mean you wouldn't have the bandwidth to be especially warm or to be especially creative in our interview. And then it would go poorly.
Yeah. Like everybody having their period at the same time.
Correct. Correct.
Oh my God, that's really painful.
Everybody being irritated at the same time, or everybody being irritating at the same time, everybody being easily confused at the same time. It goes on and on and on. So astrology is an invaluable tool for that. Now, the other thing I use it for, kind of on a daily level, is tracking global trends. You know, so for me, I'm interested in politics, issues related to social justice. I'm really interested in what's happening in the world. So I have a sense, certain weeks, of things being really accentuated and accelerated. So I'm paying attention to the news a lot more. Other weeks, I'm a little less activated. You know, sometimes I know that what is happening is really pushing me personally based on my own birth chart to do certain things. And so I'm going to, you know, use that energy or avoid that energy, as it were, because sometimes it's like, oh, things are really helping me to succeed. I need to get out of my own way this week. Excellent. I'm going to use this energy. I'm going to try. I'm going to put myself out of my comfort zone. Other times, astrology helps me to understand that I'm not supposed to push. I'm supposed to rest, right? And so there's this myriad of ways that I'm able to use it on a daily basis. And that's a lot of what I do with my horoscope. Again, it's not a sun sign horoscope, but it's to help people to understand what the energy is so that you can both kind of engage with the energy to the best of your ability, kind of like you would on your period, but also to know that you may have one of those periods where you don't cram and you don't get into a bad mood, but everyone around you is also on the rack. And so you never know. And it's important to be prepared to know that sometimes we experience energies in our life in what I refer to as the projected form. So, you know, we're going through a transit that would bring up depressiveness, but you feel fine. You feel great, but you're dealing with other people who are dragging, who are not kind of, they're not coming with the energy. And so you're not feeling depressive, but they are. And now you have to respond. You have to engage with that energy, even if it's not coming from inside the house, it's coming from outside of you.
And if you're not feeling really, really great, that's incredibly painful.
Correct. Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So what is the, where did it originate from?
That's a great question. And it is. So there's like a couple things I'll say. The first is the history of astrology is a fascinating topic, and it's not my expertise. I'm a practitioner more than anything. But there, it is a contested conversation because astrology was everywhere for, you know, it's an ancient practice because it's the study of the stars.
India. It's India. It's used a lot in China. It's used.
Yep. Yeah. From what I understand, the like largest consensus that is that it comes from Babylon. And so it is, you know, modern day Iraq. But it is used in every culture around the world in one way or another. And for so many people who would call it haram or sin or whatever, and it might be for them, like, I don't, you know, if you don't like astrology, don't fuck with astrology, that's fine. But the thing that always blows Christian people's minds, people who are raised in the Christian religion, is I remind them that those like wise men who found Jesus through the stars weren't like in the children's picture looking at the stars. They were astrologers. They foretold a birth. They were astrologers. And in antiquity, it was astrologers were scholars. They were wise men who consulted with kings and queens.
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
Yes, and across cultures. And so there's this way that religion has demonized the practice of astrology, in my view, primarily because it gives you a direct access to divinity within yourself, within others, and it takes away that need for the intermediary that, you know, usually a male figure provides to God. I think that there's...
If you have your own agency, your own power, then you don't need to be listening to them as a conduit. Right.
There's a way that I think within spiritual practices, there's sometimes confusion between obedience and respect, right? And, you know, astrology does not in any way, Western astrology, I should say in particular, because that's my expertise. It's not what's practiced in India, right? But doesn't require obedience. It requires respect, respect of your own life, respect of others. But so much religion is like, we have rules and tenets and we must be obedient to them, not question them, but follow them. And astrology doesn't inherently require that. Now, you may be an astrologer who tells your clients things that requires that, which brings me to an important thing to mention about astrology and its validity. In the West, there is no governing anything around astrology. So you could have this conversation with me and then decide you're an astrologer and tell everyone on TikTok you're an astrologer and basically reword a bunch of things you heard me say, because as a real astrologer, and then get a million follows and a million likes. And now the world thinks you're a skilled astrologer and there's no way for anyone to check it.
I'm pretty sure there's some of that.
Somewhere. Of course, 100%. I'm telling you there is 100%. And that's a huge problem with astrology. And it's not a problem with astrology. It's a problem with the way that our culture relates to and uses astrology. And it's a problem with social media culture, right? Yeah. Where this happens across industries, you know, you see over and over again, you know, one person will have a video and then 50 people all of a sudden create the identical video almost verbatim. Yeah. Right. And you're just like, okay, well, who's the expert here and who's getting engagement? And I think that when it comes to astrology, most people have a strong feeling about it, even if they're not educated, even if they don't know anything about it. And I think if, you know, any of your listeners are like, yeah, astrology is stupid, whatever, I don't like it. I respect that. You don't have to like it, but having a fixed opinion about something that you're not educated about is a reflection on you and not the thing that you have an opinion on, period.
Thank you. We're going to go for a break. And when we come back, I want to pick up that thing you said about the moon and digestion.
Oh, yes.
That was really interesting. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to go on a quick break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, we're back. What was that you said? You said something about the moon and depending on where the moon was, how it affected digestion, I think.
Sure. So when I look at people's birth charts, and this is medical astrology, which is a branch of astrology that most people don't know exists because it's many living astrologers do it. So when I look at a person's birth chart, I'm going to look to their moon to see their digestion. So I can see through the placement of the moon in the birth chart. So I'm talking about the zodiac sign that the moon is in, the house that the moon is in, and aspects to the moon, all of those factors, not just the moon sign. Mm-hmm. I can see whether a person can digest big meals, whether they need to eat a little bit all through the day, whether or not they're okay with hot, spicy foods, whether or not they like just num, num, num. They
That's
like
just
fried
nuts.
Food. Yeah. It is really something.
So you're saying that this slice of because when we look at charts, that slice just tells you everything from the inner workings, the infrastructure, and it's almost like how Dharma works. It's the infrastructure of your humanity through which everything else filters.
Correct. And generally speaking, when we're looking at the birth chart, we can, and again, this is, you have to be a professional who has training in this, just for anyone who's listening, right? But when I'm looking at a birth chart, I can see generally like, okay, so there's cardiovascular disease in the family and it runs out of the mother's side. And then there's diabetes, but it's type 2 diabetes. It runs out of the father's side. And we can see all of these kinds of things, not just digestion. And so it is the birth chart, when being read by the educated person, right? So not on its own, but being read with skill, is a resource for understanding our physiology, our psychology, our emotional body, our spiritual body, our material lived experience. It explains our nature, our predispositions, and not our free will, but how we are likely to use our free will. So I really do believe in free will.
So why do we want to know these things? Why, when people come for readings, what is it they're trying to get?
Any number of things. A common thing that people want is help figuring something out that they're stuck around. They're like, it could be X, it could be Y. You know, I could stay, I could go. I could take the job that makes more money, or I could stay in the thing that I love, but I'm really struggling financially. Like a million different kinds of questions like this.
So like a pathway forward.
it's a pathway forward, but what I end up trying to give them is not just the pathway forward, but insight into what their inner dialogue is about and how to assess their thoughts and feelings, because that's the key, is when we can assess our thoughts and feelings and be aware that, okay, this is my excitement versus I'm scared, because a lot of people don't know the difference. Yeah. This is my intuition versus this is my narrative. This is my fantasy. A lot of people don't know the difference. I think all of us struggle with that sooner or later in some way or another.
No, because we're entrepreneurs and our fantasies are our realities, just pointing out.
Theoretically, for some people, their fantasies never become material because they don't follow through with the actions, or they don't have the emotional belief and conviction to match the mental fantasy. And so some people that I work with, you know, they've got all the fantasies and all the visions and all the optimism, but it doesn't materialize.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for it. You know what I mean? There's reasons for it. So, and then other people have no fantasies. I'm one. I'm a very Capricorn. I'm not a fantasy person, but I do things. Both of these things have problems. Everything's a problem, but it's a problem that if you get actively engaged with, can become a dynamic in your life.
Yeah. What happens if you're like my mother and she can't remember when I was born?
That is a tragedy. But there's a lot of answers to that. So there's something that astrologers can do. Now, again, not a lot of astrologers do this. This is something I do, but I should get ahead and say I'm not taking clients at this time. So if you're listening to me, I'm so sorry. Except for on my podcast. You can get a reading with me on my podcast, but you have to send in a question to be chosen. Anyways, so there's something called rectification where it generally helps if there's like, you know, she's like, I don't know, it was like light out, you know, something like that helps. But what we can do is
She said it's first thing in the morning.
Which could be 4 a.m. or it could be 9 a.m., right? So what I do when I'm rectifying a chart is I will pull up a bazillion charts, because every like minute or 2 minutes, the thing changes. So I'll pull up a bazillion charts and start to try to identify major events that occurred in your life that could have only occurred if you were born on this date or that date. So doing this for people who have a bad memory of things that happened in their past is very challenging. And doing this for people who are younger than 30 is very challenging, because they don't have a lot of lived experiences yet that aren't their childhood. So it's harder to gauge. But that's the process. It's called rectification. For other people, you know what I mean? You're just not going to get your birth chart. But what you can get is your planetary lineup. So that's doesn't require a time of birth or a location. It's just the date. And it's significantly less data. But it is data, and it's way more data than if you don't have anything, right? Some people don't have a date of birth at all, and I feel empathy for them because I can't help them.
Oh, no, the date of birth I have. I she knew it was quite early morning, and that was it.
But I'm surprised. She wasn't into astrology at all?
No, we're from the north, actually, and Vedic astrology is very Hindu. Yeah. And it's actually not part of our culture, weirdly. So it's something that you know, we just don't. We don't do. And it's always been a bit of a challenge, but I think it's a conspiracy because my mother thinks that you shouldn't find these things out. So I see.
So she's holding back. I mean, I will also say Eastern astrology is radically different than Western.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a really important distinction, because people think it's all astrology. It's the values and kind of resources within these two different forms of astrology are radically different. And that's a really important thing, because Western culture is very much about free will and autonomy and self-direction. And that's reflected in the astrology and how we practice it, right? And if you go to somebody who's, you know, practicing Eastern astrology, they're much more like, this is what you're destined to do. This is what will happen. This is when it will happen.
But they're using karma and dharma and getting galactic about it.
Correct.
So what do you do now that you're not meant to sign anything between the 22nd and 15th?
Well,
suddenly somebody says, you know, you're buying this house and it's just come through and you've waited six, you know, whatever, and the bank's waiting for you and you've got to sign the contract. What do you do?
you do your best. You triple check the contract. You ask for another set of eyes on the contract and you live your damn life. You know, we don't want to be ridiculous about it. I've signed plenty of contracts. I've launched business ventures during retrogrades. And I always end up saying, yeah, that went wrong. It was a retrograde. Oh, well. But again, Mercury in astrology doesn't just govern our minds, but it governs adaptability, our ability to adapt to circumstances, right? To ideas.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so sometimes you do something during a retrograde and you're like, yeah, that went as wrong as I knew it would. And you just deal with it. You deal with it. And I don't mean that like suck it up. I mean, you adapt, you learn, you become more flexible by understanding that things are not always going to go perfect. And that doesn't mean they're wrong, because sometimes the best choice you can make is the best choice you can make, but it's not the perfect choice, because we don't always have perfect choices.
You don't want to paralyze yourself into a zero choice. Because you're kind of like, I don't want to get it wrong. Because I always think that's actually a problem.
Yeah. And that's something I've heard you say many times. It's like, it doesn't have to be perfect. When we get the ball rolling, the ball often stops rolling, falls over, goes in the wrong direction, but you still pick up the ball and you get it rolling, right? Yeah. And so the thing about understanding that Mercury is retrograde is, listen, for me, I had a thing that I didn't want to sign a contract. And I reached out to the person who I'm, you know, signing up with and said that. And they were like, no problem. We can wait until after the 15th. Whew, that's wonderful. But in other times of my life, that wasn't an option. And so I signed the damn contract and dealt with the consequences. And that's, you know, I don't think we should drive ourselves bananas over this stuff. I think we just want to know that between August 22nd, I'm going to say between really just now, what are we, August 15th, 16th, between now and September 15th, things are going to be wonky. Technology is going to be wonky. Communication is going to be wonky. Our understanding of agreements are going to be wonky. So work with that by being more patient, by triple checking, not double checking, you know, by asking questions, by making sure that the other party understands what you understand.
Yeah.
All of these.
I had a contract I had to sign yesterday, actually. And it was really interesting because I read it. And the lady's team had gotten my part of it completely wrong. And it was really interesting because at some stage I would have gone, oh no, I'm sure it's fine. And I actually remembered reading it and thinking, oh yeah, no. So I went, can you take it back? Can you change it? Can you bring it back and, you know, and move on? So yeah.
This is the thing. It's like we all kind of glance through contracts. Right. But this is not the time to do it. You know how to actually read a contract.
Yeah, but I really hate them because I think I did that for too long. I'm like, I don't want it anymore. That part of my brain said, well, sayonara, baby, we're on holiday.
I honestly, my brain's always been on that holiday. So welcome. I despise reading contracts, but this is the time to do it.
So if you're not taking, just to the last minute or so, if you're not taking clients, which I think is really rude for readings.
I know.
Because you're in such high demand. How do people now do it? They send you questions to you?
So if people go to my, go to ghostofapodcast.com, that's the name of my podcast. Mm-hmm. There is a contact form there and there's like pro tips on like how to ask a question, and you fill out the form, giving me all your birth data. You ask your question. And if your question is selected, we will reach out to you and schedule a reading. And then that reading will go live on the podcast. That's the only way to get a reading with me these days. And it makes people sad. And I am honored that it makes people sad. But I will say that I saw the pandemic coming. And so I was booking out a year in advance. And in 2018, I was fully booked for 2019. And so in 2018, I stopped taking clients so that I wouldn't be seeing clients at the start of 2020. And it was the greatest gift I ever gave myself, I'll tell you that, because it was just, I mean, people would have wanted readings. People were freaking out. But I spent all of 2019 saying to every client all day long, every client all day long, maybe don't open the storefront this year. maybe just wait to have a baby. Let's see what happens. Like, there's no rush. Maybe don't quit your day job to get the freelancing job, because I saw things really collapsing and I saw an airborne pandemic coming. But I didn't tell that to people because that is a terrible and alarmist thing to say. I would never say that to people, but I was every reading, I was bumming every client out. I'm like, maybe just be less risky. And so, you know, the biggest question I got in the first 2 years of the pandemic was, when will this be over? And it's still not over. It's spiking right now. So, you know, like it's really tough to be reading for individuals and ignoring these exceptional collective conditions that we're in. It's why I'm not doing it. So maybe when the pandemic is over, I might open my books up again, but there will be a year-long waiting list waiting for me when I do that. So again, the podcast is your best move.
Yeah, no, you go, girl. I'm a big fan. A year-long waiting bloody list. I think that's the best news since sliced bread.
Well, thank you
so much for coming on.
I am a fan of you. Thank you for having me. This has been a total joy, and I hope it's piqued some people's interests to either study astrology or hate study astrology to prove to themselves and others why they don't like it. Because I am a fan of doing either.
Or if you just like astrology, follow Jessica.
Oh yeah, follow me.
Find Ghost of a Podcast. Find Jessica. What's your social media? Is it at Jessica I can never.
Lignato. That's okay. You don't have to say it. At Jessica Lignato. This is the problem. I started
great social media. You speak as a blueberry.
I do speak as a blueberry or a watermelon or a moon.
I mean, I think that's freaking amazing. I love that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for joining me, Jessica.
Thank you for having me.
My name is Geeta Sidhu-Rob. Thank you very much for joining me during this episode. I hope you really enjoyed it. I had the best time, but I always have the best time with Jessica. I found it so interesting. I love how different people live their lives. And when Jessica said this to me, I was just like, oh my God, I love this so much. And I wanted you guys to hear it and put it in your pipe and smoke it and do whatever you want with it. But hopefully it was interesting and inspiring. And I hope you join me again in the future.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.